Hello and welcome to the Fastest Lap Podcast, helping you to stay up to date with the fast-moving world of Formula One. Today, we rate the possibility of Ross Brawn coming back to Formula One, talk about the Williams driver lineup, and preview the upcoming Brazilian GP. My name is Jan, and as ever, I'm with Ferlo. Hello everyone! Only two races left in the 2016 Formula One World Championship, but still plenty of unknown in terms of the driver lineup for the midfield teams. And last week Williams made the first move, and basically they revealed the worst kept secret in Formula One with signing Lance Stroll for the second seat alongside Valtteri Bottas. We already talked about Lance Stroll in one of the previous episodes, and so I just want to ask you, Fergal, what do you expect Lance Stroll to achieve in his first season in Formula One in Williams?
Well, I think it's always very difficult to judge how a driver will do in their rookie season, but personally, I rate Stroll quite highly. You know, I've been watching him this year in Formula 3 in a championship that he's absolutely dominated. He won the championship by 187 points, which speaks for itself.
And I heard something about 50% podium finish rate or something.
Yeah, something like that. And I mean, Claire Williams was stating that she does expect him to make some mistakes. You know, it's a part of your rookie season that's going to happen, but she thinks he's going to learn from them quickly and become a strong driver. And yeah, I think Bottas being more experienced will outshine Stroll, but I don't think anyone's really expecting Stroll to come in straight away and give Williams a headache. So it's an interesting move, and yeah, personally I do like Stroll, and I hope he can do well.
So you basically don't think that we will see another Verstappen or something when he Verstappen came in, and yeah, he really showed his talent from the word go.
Yeah, he did, but I mean, Verstappen was sort of, there was hype about Verstappen even when he was in karting.
Well, yes, because he was very young.
Stroll's a bit different on the side that he hasn't had the hype through his whole racing career, whether it be in karts or the other formulas. So I don't think he'll be as impressive as Verstappen, let's say, but I don't think he's going to falter and do a terrible job. I think he will do a pretty decent job.
Yeah, that's, I think so too. And another interesting thing actually is, I mean, Lance Stroll came up from Formula 3 now, and when actually was the last time a rookie driver came into Formula 1 from GP2? I just need to think about it.
From GP2?
Yes.
Who was the last one? Well, if you want to say Palmer, would it be? Mean straight from GP2?
Palmer, I just think about it. I mean, GP2 is always called the feeder series of Formula 1, and all the best drivers or future F1 drivers are in GP2, but looking at in the big picture, I can't really see that trend in the last few years. I mean, do you see some kind of shift there where young drivers are coming? Do you think young drivers are really getting into Formula 1 from the lower tier series, not necessarily from GP2?
Yeah, that has happened. I mean, you have Stroll and Verstappen, both came from Formula 3. You had Kvyat, who came from GP3. You had Sainz, who came from Formula Renault, I think it was. So there is so many different series that they're coming from. But I think GP2 still is the focus point for the next F1 drivers, even though there isn't an apparent, indication that all the drivers are coming from there right now. It's still looked as the feeder series for F1. But yeah, a lot of the drivers, like let's say Kvyat and Sainz, had sponsors, or like were Red Bull had backed them, and they just wanted to get them into their Formula One system, I guess. So yeah, there is a lot of series that they can come from. I mean, we've seen Esteban Ocon, he left DTM to come to F1, as did Pascal Wehrlein. So not just single seaters.
Yeah, you're right. So, yeah, Formula One attracts talents from all series. And yeah, coming back to Lance Stroll and to Williams, as you said, Claire Williams said she doesn't expect him, or she does expect him to make mistakes. You said you expect to see Valtteri Bottas in front of him. What would actually happen if they were quite even? I mean, we always rated Bottas very highly. Yeah, it would be quite funny to see that, wouldn't
Yeah, it would be, and I think if that did happen, it'd be quite sensational, really, because Bottas, he's a good driver. He definitely is a very good driver, and he has, what is it, 5 years of F1 experience or something like that at the moment. So yeah, it would be pretty amazing to see them match each other. And I think Stroll, it's worth mentioning that he didn't get in on pure talent. There was a lot of money involved that got him to the seat.
What was the number you heard?
Well, the number that that we heard was reportedly $80 million.
Yeah, that's what
His
I heard.
father, yeah. So I mean, it's a ridiculous amount of money. But yeah, they wouldn't have brought him in if they didn't think he was able to do the job. There's only so much a team can do with a lot of money, a lot of sponsor money, or money from his father, let's say. They need a good driver there as well. So I think they obviously think that they have a good driver in Lance Stroll, as well as a good financial backing.
Yeah, and if you look back through the history of Formula One, I mean, most drivers were actually backed by sponsors or had a personal budget. So it was never really, purely down to talent. I mean, Hamilton had the backing of Mercedes, Vettel had the backing of, who was it, BMW, I think, and then Red Bull. So it was always not only talent but also a budget, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I mean, even going back further than that, with Niki Lauda, but all the way back all those years ago in the 70s, he paid for his entry into F1. He didn't get in on pure talent, and of course, he came out of it with multiple world championships. So, it is, you do need money to get into Formula One, which in a way is a shame, because there's a lot of wasted talent, you could say, that don't have that backing, but have more talent, and you don't hear about them because they don't get far up the racing pecking order because they don't have that money to get them there, which yeah is, I think, quite unfortunate. But that's just the way it is, and it's something that we have to accept. And I think that we pretty much have accepted it. I mean, there's never really any bother about it, and no one really complains, I don't think, to the extent that it's made a big deal of.
Speaking of pay drivers, I really miss Pastor Maldonado.
Yeah, I think you might be the only one there.
I mean, just imagine someone like Maldonado spicing up the Mexican GP would be something.
Yeah, he probably would have had a little bit more excitement to that, but for all the wrong reasons, of course.
So yeah, Williams, I really think that as you said, with all the podiums and winning the championship, I think Lance Stroll is really quite a good driver, and alongside Valtteri Bottas, I think they really do have a strong driver lineup for next season. as Force India might have for next season as well. I mean, we don't know who their drivers will be next season. I read something about Ocon is really now finalizing a deal. But then again, from other sources, I hear Pascal Wehrlein maybe. I think we really have to wait for that. But Williams really will be in a big battle next season, I think. What do you think? Do you think they can really develop the car as other teams do? Of course, they don't have the budget, but with the big regulation change for 2017... was Williams ever good on aerodynamics in the last few years?
It's quite confusing actually, because some engineers say that it's a clean slate for everyone and everyone has the opportunity to make big gains next year. But then on the other hand, surely you need a good budget to make big gains. And of course Williams don't have the budget like Ferrari or Red Bull or Mercedes. It is all focused on aerodynamics next year, of course. I think I'd be surprised if Williams fell behind in the standings. It looks like they're going to be finishing fifth this year. I don't see them overtaking Force India again for fourth. And the only team I really see that can overtake them again next year is McLaren.
What about Toro Rosso? Honestly,
I think they'll make some gains on their car, but not enough to overtake Williams or McLaren or Force India. I think Williams' biggest threat right now is coming from McLaren. But they also, I think they might realise that themselves, but they can't start looking behind their shoulder at the teams that are coming up the standings to them. They need to look forward and see who they can catch instead, because they're a team. They've been in Formula 1 now for, I think next year is 40 years. They've been in F1. They need to look forward rather than behind them on the grid to make gains.
Yeah, if you look back to Austria 2014, for example, I mean, they were in pole there. In 2014, they were really one of the front-running teams, but from then on, it only went backwards. So, yeah, maybe next year, new driver, maybe a good developed car, we don't know. I mean, they said they started development early, but which team didn't? I mean, everyone started quite early, January or something. So, yeah, it will be quite interesting to see where they end up. But, yeah, good that they announced their drivers now, so we've got a little bit more of a clearer picture in terms of all the lineups. And, yeah, that's all about Williams for now. Now, one man who was really good at building teams in the past. Let's remind ourselves of the good times he had with John Todd at Ferrari. Of course, I'm speaking about Ross Brawn. And actually, he wrote a book, which is quite interesting, considering that there are so many news now about him. Why might that be? There were some rumors that Ross Brawn could actually come back to Formula One, but not necessarily in a role in one of the teams, but more in a management role, sporting management role, replacing or assisting Bernie Ecclestone. What do you think about it?
There has been a lot of rumors, and he actually said himself that he would be attracted to returning to Formula One, but not as a team, not inside a team to help a team develop, but more to structure the sport and the future of the sport, which I think is fair enough, because his argument is that if he was to join a team, it would mean that he'd just be repeating himself for what he's done over the past 20 or so years he's been in Formula One, which is fair enough to him. And I think it would be quite nice to see him back in the sport, because he was very successful. He had a very successful role in the sport with the teams. And fair enough, he doesn't want to do that anymore. But I think he has the right eye for knowing what's best for the sport. And I would love to see him back in some sort of managerial role, as in for the overall sport, not for one individual team.
Yeah, you could be right. I mean, I look at it in two perspectives. First of all, of course, he has such a great experience. He's such an experienced man working in Formula One for so long. And I think he could really steer the sport in a good direction. But on the other hand, I mean, he is, how old is he? 50-something? Yeah, 50-something.
I think it's something like that.
Yeah, and I don't know whether he can really bring the sport in a direction where it attracts more fans, especially younger fans. I mean, what do you think about it?
Well, I mean, with all due respect, he's still a lot younger than Bernie Ecclestone.
Okay.
So, I mean, to be honest, I would like to see him back in the sport, because I just get the sense that he knows what's good for the sport. He was there, you know, through the highs of the, you know, 90s, and then the lows of the early noughties, the very boring Ferrari years. And yeah, you know, he even had his own successful team, Brawn GP, in 2009, of course, when Jenson Button won the championship. So I think he just has, I think he, the eye that he had for developing teams and making them a success, I think he can do the exact same thing for the sport as a, you know, an overall gesture. I think he can do the exact same thing with that and make it a more, well, I mean, entertaining, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, sport.
Yeah, I think so too. And one thing he would definitely want to do is keeping some traditional races on the calendar. Let's say Silverstone, Monza, Spa. But also, I think he would like to keep Malaysia. And yeah, there were some news about Malaysia a few weeks ago. Or was it last week? I don't know. Where the owner of the Malaysia circuit actually said in an interview that, yeah, he doesn't really, or he thinks that the Malaysia GP could take a break. He didn't say for how long, but at the moment he doesn't see the popularity for the sport. Of course, he said Mercedes is dominating the sport, it isn't good for the sport, there aren't many fans coming. Also, of course, it isn't, or the fact isn't helped by that Malaysia is now, I don't know, race 13, 14, 15, 16 in the calendar, whereas the last few seasons it was the second race or third race. So, yeah, it would be really sad to lose Malaysia from the F1 calendar.
Yeah, it would be, because first of all, it's such a great track, I think.
One of the best Herman Tilke designed, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, Tilke's tracks have been criticised a lot, but I think Malaysia is one of the few that people actually like, because
maybe Turkey also.
Yeah, Turkey, yeah. Yeah, it's one of very few tracks anyway that they like of his, and you know, it is a great track. It has some very good corners, has a lot of good corners actually, and it flows very nicely. But it's looking like the Grand Prix could be dropped, because the main reason is really that they want to, instead of funding the race, they want to fund race drivers, because
the Malaysian government or the circuit.
Well, the funding that goes to the government, because the funding that goes to the Grand Prix, they want to use it instead to fund drivers, because there is a handful of drivers in the junior series. I think there's two in GP2. I could be wrong. There's definitely one in GP2, Galil, and I there could be another one, but I'm not too sure. But there definitely is a handful of drivers. Jeffrey as well. He's I can't remember what series he's racing in, but yeah, there's a few drivers in there, and that they would prefer to fund rather than funding an unpopular race where they're not receiving any profit from. So yeah, it is a fair argument. I think I read somewhere, I could be completely wrong here, but I think there's only ever been one Malaysian driver or once or something like that, or one
Could be,
Malaysian
could
that's
be.
finished on a podium or something like that. But they want to yeah, inject the money to support drivers instead of the Grand Prix, which yeah, they said was proving to be unpopular over the last couple of years.
Strange. So basically a Malaysian Riu Haryanto.
Yeah,
I mean,
maybe,
I can't, I don't really understand it because, as you said, well, the Grand Prix isn't maybe that profitable, but pouring all the money into just one driver, will that give them any more profit? I'm not sure. And I mean, we've seen what could happen with Riu Haryanto, then suddenly not receiving any backing from Indonesia anymore, and I'm not quite sure what I should think of the governments interfering and backing drivers.
Yeah, well, I think it's kind of the countries that don't have really have a history of producing good drivers. I mean, I'm pretty sure Haryanto was the first Indonesian driver ever to race in an F1.
I think so.
So, I mean, you'd never really see like in Germany or in Britain, really anything like that, because there's a consistently drivers being produced from there. But yeah, somewhere like Malaysia, where there's not a lot of drivers, if they see someone that has potential, that they think has potential to go on to great things, they could help them out if they really believed it. But unfortunately for F1 fans, that would come at the expense of the Malaysian Grand Prix, it seems.
So I think I can speak on behalf of a lot of F1 fans that we really hope that the Malaysia GP stays on the calendar and stays on the calendar for a long time. And now, coming from the traditional Malaysia GP to the even more traditional Brazilian GP that we will see next weekend in São Paulo, and it actually could be the championship deciding race. I think Rosberg only, yeah, let's say only needs to win the race, and then he's champion, isn't he?
Yep, it's actually quite a big difference from Mexico. I mean, in Mexico, the last race, Rosberg had to win and Hamilton had to come 10th or below. And, that seems so unlikely. And now suddenly, in the very next race, Rosberg just has to win. And you're thinking, well, that's very likely. I mean, I think Rosberg's won in Brazil the past 2 seasons. Did he win in? He won last year. I think he won in 2014 as well.
Didn't he outbrake Hamilton at the start, and then when was the year where Hamilton made a mistake into turn 1, 2, 3, or 4, whatever it is?
Not qu oh, where he spun off.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was in 2014. Yeah.
Yes, so.
So, right, yeah, Rosberg won that race. Well, Hamilton's never won Brazil before. Rosberg's won it the past 2 years, so yeah, the odds are in Rosberg's favor. Yeah, and all he needs to do is just win the race. And yeah, he it's very likely, I think, that he will win the championship. If you want to look at it, well, I mean, if you want to look at it theoretically, there's a 1 in 22 chance that he's going to win the Grand Prix, but realistically, there's really only, probably a 1 in 2, 1 in 3 chance, maybe 1 in 4 chance that he'll win the Grand Prix. So, yeah, it's a very big opportunity for him to claim his first title. And I think it's important, well, for him that he wins this world championship, because I do believe that this will be the last season Rosberg will get a chance at the world championship. Because with next year, with the new regulations coming in, I think, well, Red Bull anyway will be a very strong team. And overall, I think few would really argue with that. Hamilton is the better driver than Rosberg. At least that's what I think anyway. And when you throw another team into it and another couple of drivers, it's gonna make Rosberg's life for a championship much more difficult. So I do think that this year will be his last opportunity for a title.
Yeah, could well be, could well be. Yeah, and São Paulo, I mean, over the last few years, we've seen that everything can happen there. I mean, you just have to look back 2012, 2008, and so on and so on. There were some crazy races, and a lot of times there was also rain involved. Do you know the weather forecast for this weekend?
I don't actually know the weather forecast, but to be honest, I wouldn't trust my sources, because in Brazil it can be just so unpredictable. It's a little bit like Malaysia, I think. It can be sunny 1 minute, next minute it's monsoon season. So
Yeah, as the commentators explain to the viewers, every literally they explain every year Interlagos means between seas, and yeah, the weather can change quite rapidly.
Yeah, and then we seen that in 2010, I think it was, when Nico Hülkenberg and
Ah,
his
yeah.
pole position. Yeah, so that was a wet to dry qualifying session, I believe. So yeah, it can throw up so much drama. Of course, like you said, 2008, the very last corner of the championship was decided.
Is that Glock?
It's a great race, I think. To be honest, I actually prefer Brazil as a final race of the season over Abu Dhabi. I
I
think
think everyone does.
it feels like such a more suitable setting for a finale rather than Abu Dhabi. But I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, I just remembered the quote of Mark Webber. I think it was Mark Webber who said, "Abu Dhabi is like driving on a big car park." I mean, it really is. There's just a big car park with some barriers and some lines, but nothing more.
Yeah, maybe he's right. He's said a lot of things in his career.
But I guess they paid a lot of money to be the last race of the season, and I think they paid even more money to be the last race and have double points.
Yeah, it's a very wealthy region over there in the United Arab Emirates. So yeah, a lot of money was probably pumped into that.
So you think Rosberg will win this weekend ahead of Hamilton, I guess?
Oh, I'm actually quite scared to call it, because it's so. I think Rosberg will win the championship this year. But whether he'll win it this weekend or not, I'm not sure. Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna say this weekend he'll win the Grand Prix and he'll win the championship.
I think it would be quite nice for him because I think he does have more supporters in Brazil than he has in Abu Dhabi. Because after 2008, I don't think that there are many Hamilton fans around in Brazil.
Yeah, maybe not. But yeah, Rosberg, I mean, coming to his I mean, when he's finishing the podiums, we've gotten used to him sort of, being booed over the last couple of years. Not really sure why,
Well,
but
I think there are really two parts in terms of fans. In some races, in some countries, Rosberg gets a boost, and Yeah, where was it? In Mexico, I think I really heard some boos for Hamilton.
Yeah, to be honest, I think you're right, but Rosberg had a great support in Mexico, and they were like chanting his name when he was on the podium and everything. So I think this year he's really, compared to last season and the season before, he's gained a lot of fans, I think. And yeah, he's a good driver. He's definitely a good driver. You know, people say that, you know, he doesn't deserve the shot at a world title or whatever.
That's rubbish.
It's rubbish because they're comparing him to Lewis Hamilton, who, granted, is a very, very talented driver. I mean, Rosberg outperformed Schumacher at 2010 to 2012, and I mean, I know Schumacher was older, a lot older, but you know, it's still Michael Schumacher. Yeah. It's still a 7-time world champion. So yeah, I think Rosberg definitely is a good driver. He hasn't been able to show what he can do, but as he says himself, he has Lewis Hamilton as a teammate, and he knows what his teammate is capable of. And yeah, I think that's what he's, well, really looking forward to this season, not just winning the championship, but getting one over his teammate Lewis Hamilton, who he rates extremely highly.
Yeah, well, I hope really that he can win the title this weekend in Brazil, but honestly,
We're not biased here at all.
No, but I hope he wins it this weekend, but I don't think he will win it this weekend. Maybe he'll win it in Abu Dhabi. I just can't really imagine him winning the title because, as you said, Hamilton, he really wants to win the race, and Rosberg is more like, yeah, even if I come second, everything is okay, you know. I don't really see the bite in Rosberg, and you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do know what I mean, but I think Rosberg, he's been so much more relaxed this season, even in all his interviews and everything. It's just been so much more relaxed. And one thing, actually, that even the media pointed this out, which is strange, but it is quite evident. In 2014 and 15, the whole time, whenever he was referencing Hamilton, he said, my teammate. And this season, it's all just been Lewis. He's never called him my teammate. It's always just been his first name. Okay. His, Hamilton's first name. And, well, a lot of journalists and all that think that it's, something psychological that messes with Hamilton's head. It shows, I don't really know what it shows, but I think it's just little mind games like that have enabled Rosberg to really step up his game. I mean, I know it's something small and petty, but it's little changes like that I think have made Rosberg have a stronger mentality when being compared to Lewis.
Yeah, I think the media interprets a lot of stuff in such little things. But it's quite funny, actually, when you said it. I remembered some team radios from last year, 2 years ago, where the team or Rosberg always talked about the other car. Didn't even say teammate or Lewis. It was just the other car.
Yeah, I think Rosberg was obviously very devastated after losing 2014. And then in 2015, he was pretty much dominated throughout the season, except maybe the last three races. But this year he's driven well. He's driven very well because he's top of the driver standings. Yeah. So yeah, he's in a very, very good place right now. And you said something earlier actually about Rosberg. You know, when he comes second, he's like, only need to come second, but Rossi, he still wants to win. You know, he still wants to win races, and he'll push to win races to an extent, I think, because, well, he'll push to win races, but he's not going to put himself in any danger of, you know, ruining his race and ruining his championship. I mean, like, if he is a 19-point lead now, and if Hamilton wins in Brazil, unless, say, something happens and Rosberg doesn't score any points, you know, it's completely flipped. So,
yeah, that's...
I think it would come down to, actually, if that happened, then it would come down to whoever wins the race in Abu Dhabi, which actually would be quite exciting. But
that would be a very good showdown, yeah.
Yeah, it would be. But yeah, we'll wait and see what happens this weekend. It could be. It is definitely probably the biggest. Yeah, it definitely is the biggest weekend of Rosberg's career, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think so. I think so too. And what do you think will happen behind Mercedes? Will Ferrari beat Red Bull at least one time in the last few races? I mean, Vettel was in front of the Red Bulls in Mexico for about 2 hours or something. But
yeah.
do you think he can fight them on track this weekend?
Honestly, I think Red Bull will have the upper hand on Ferrari this weekend. I think their car is just much more suited to the track through all the medium speed corners. Yeah, I think it's going to be a good track for Red Bull.
Yeah, actually, yeah, Interlagos, really, there aren't any high speed corners, are there? I mean, there's just the one downhill, second to last turn, that's a little bit faster, but other than that, a lot of slow speed and medium speed corners, as you said. Oh, okay, turn 5 and turn 6, maybe, but yeah, generally a very short lap, so I guess we'll see very thin margins in qualifying.
Yeah, possibly.
So the slightest mistake could cost a few places there.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the midfield is going to be pretty interesting. You know, keep an eye on. I think Toro Rosso could have a good showing this weekend.
You think so?
Well.
With the long straight?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've shown this year that. Which track was it that has a long straight and they
Mexico.
Still achieved it? could have been Malaysia. There was one track anyway that was a long straight in, and they still achieved a good points finish. I think Sainz finished 7th or something. So yeah, I think they have potential this weekend. As ever, Williams and Force India is going to be an interesting race to look at. And I'll be interested actually to see where McLaren are this weekend. Well, as ever, you turn up every weekend wondering where McLaren are going to be. So, it should be a good weekend, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. So I hope we, and also you listening to the podcast, can see a very exciting weekend, a very exciting race, maybe a new champion. I don't know. We don't know. If for the sake of the sport, maybe it would be better to decide a championship in the last race. But as I said, I would really wish Rosberg the win in Brazil, with all the great fans there. Of course, a very passionate F1 country. But I think, yeah, we need to wait a few days from now. And yeah, next weekend, next Sunday or Monday, we will be back with our podcast, the Fastest Lap Podcast. If you want to reach us, you can send us an email at info@thesimracer.com or on Twitter, YouTube and Facebook. So thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye. Wherever you are listening, we would really appreciate your feedback by commenting or rating the podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We will be back next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.